So family, if you would, you have a new set of message notes inside your worship guides, and I would encourage you to take them out. Those of you online, you can download your message notes. And I think you probably already know that, and hopefully you've done that. We're going to begin looking at five reasons to have hope in 2021. Some of you are going through some of the best times in your life, and yet others of you are going through some of the roughest times in your life. And our Heavenly Father has some wonderful promises for all of us at this particular juncture in our lives. So as you can see here in your notes, I've given you the three essential questions to continue asking yourself as we go through any of the messages that are taught here from this pulpit. We want you to be cognizant of what you're really hearing, and therefore, with that, we want you to be challenged to be thinking about questions such as, have I ever heard this before? Is this something that I've been working on myself? It's so good to hear that the Holy Spirit wanted to speak to me this morning about this. And what am I going to do now that I've heard what I've heard? How do I put this in practice? Who can I bless with what my life is being changed into, and that is being more like the Lord Jesus Christ? The United States, as you know, has a submarine warfare center. What I didn't know is that it's out in the middle of Nevada, out in the middle of the desert near a Paiute Indian reservation. Why you have a submarine warfare station in the middle of nowhere, I have no idea. But at the close of World War II, there was one of our submarines that was on its way back to the East Coast and was just pulling into the harbor in Virginia. And something absolutely horrible took place. This submarine had come through the war unscathed. None of the submariners had lost their lives. It was blessed up to this very point. And then it sunk into 100 feet of water in the port. We didn't have then what we have today by way of the various tools, the rescue submariners, even in deeper depths of water. But as soon as they could get divers into the water, the first diver on scene was able to hear a seaman inside the submarine banging on the inner wall with a hammer in Morse code. And he was asking this question: is there hope? Is there hope? It is a critical question, particularly as you and I now are just finishing the first quarter of a brand new year, and we are going to be moving into the second quarter of a year that appears to be looking not identical to 2020, but it certainly has looked a lot like 2020. And that was a year that shook most Americans' lives. Some not so much, and yet others, it has shaken them to their core. There's still tens of thousands, maybe millions, hiding at home because of a pandemic. This morning's message from our Heavenly Father is to encourage each and every one of you, and you who are listening in the live stream, and an encouragement not only to you, but to take this encouragement forward into the lives of others that you know that are still afraid of this pandemic. I'm more afraid myself of the spiritual pandemic that we find ourselves in, and that pandemic began decades before we ran into COVID-19. We have a socio as well as economic pandemic that is going on in America. So I trust that you will take the necessary notes, that the promises will become real for you, and that you will share them with anyone that you know that is being troubled at this particular time. The shaking that I've seen in the lives of some people is kind of like one of the songs when I was in junior high that Elvis Presley sang. I'm all shook up. So let's move on and find what God has in store with us. You know, pastors that I've talked with, some of them are struggling. They're struggling with hopelessness. Many have endured ministry challenges that they've never seen, and they've been in ministry for a decade or more. That's why the question, is there hope, is so important for you and I going further into this year, 2021. As you face the next three quarters and challenges, as well as the joys that will be coming our way this year, let me point out to you these five unshakable truths that anchor our hope as Jesus followers, even as you were singing not moments ago to him, but he being our anchor. This year, no matter what you or our church family is facing, remind yourself of those who are struggling with these. I can't even figure out what I wrote here. This year, no matter what you or our church family is facing, remind yourself of those who are struggling, and be sure, as I said earlier, give them these truths, but you have to believe them yourself, and help them to understand the acrostic that I taught you on different occasions, the acrostic that goes along with the word hope. Hope. You are to be, letter H, hopeful. That's your fill-in. You're to be hopeful. You are to be, letter O, optimistic. Optimistic. You are to be with the letter P, positive. Positive. Because you're a Christian. You have Christ with you every moment of every day. And P is to be positive. And E, you are to find yourself being encouraged. We have every reason, as we will be reminded in this message, to see that we can be hopeful, optimistic, positive, and encouraged, even in times like we've come from and the way 2021 has begun. So five unshakable truths. Number one, Father God chose us before we chose him. Father God chose us before we chose him. Would you say that with me? Father God chose us before we chose him. Now I want you to say it aloud with me, but I want you to say it in the present tense and make it personal. I want you to say, God chose me before I chose him. Let's say that together. God chose me before I chose him. Now, think about that. He chose you. You didn't choose him. He chose you according to the counsel of his own will, as he looked out there amongst the 7 billion plus people on this planet, he decided he wanted you to be part of his church family. And through his grace upon your life, and through faith in his Son, and realizing that you're a sinner, like I am, and confessing and repenting of your sin, he brought you, by his choice, into his family. So he chose you before we chose him. Peter tells us in 1 Peter, this is the book we will be in this morning, he shared with us, you were chosen according to the purpose of God. You were chosen according to your purpose. He chose you according to his purpose. According to the purposes of God, the Father, and were made holy people by his Spirit. Upon your confession and repentance and turning from sin and having received the Lord Jesus Christ into your life, the Holy Spirit came in. You had given up your sinfulness for Christ's righteousness. The Holy Spirit came into your life, and to obey Jesus Christ and be purified by his blood. Now, if you're online and watching this and you have just wandered onto this particular station to be listening to us, you're probably thinking, washed in blood, covered by blood? Yuck! We're talking symbolically here. We're talking symbolically. Blood represents life, and the life we are speaking about is the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gave his life up for us, and therefore we were purified by he who knew no sin. He became our sin so that we could be saved. The fact is this, long before you chose Jesus, as we have said together, he chose you. Your salvation was his idea. Jesus took the initiative to bring you into his family. And you were chosen for his purpose, to make you holy and to get you ready to join him in heaven. This is his purpose, to make you holy. Otherwise, you can't go to heaven when your body no longer can coexist in this world. We all know that, we all know what it's like to feel chosen. I can remember as a kid, you know, we're the baby boomers, and there was probably 25 kids on our block. Just lots of kids growing up in the neighborhood. And so we wanted to play baseball games and football games and different sports and other kinds of games. And so we have to choose up teams. And I happened to be one of those that was born with a lot of athletic ability, and I usually end up being one of the team captains. So as the team captains, the two team captains would have to choose out of all the other kids in the neighborhood who's going to be on your team. Well, who gets chosen first? The better player, right? And you know who that is. But then when you get down to the last remaining few that are waiting to be chosen to be on a team, they know that they're just going to go to a team because neither of the captains really want any of them because they don't have the athletic ability. But the fact that you were chosen made a big difference in so many people's lives. They got on the team. When they got to high school, they made the team. They had a certain amount of importance that now moved along with a high schooler wearing his Letterman sweater or jacket and all of the things that go along with that. He chose us. And when I was chosen to go on my high school football team, I was thrilled because, you know, we could only have 22 of us. And I got to play. Very, very special. I was told in the police academy that for all of us who were in this class, that there was up to 3,000 other people that had applied for the positions that we were now occupying as recruits. We were 125, of which only 57 would graduate, that were chosen. We felt very special, very special. When I met Kathy, and it became clear to me very early on, not so much to her, but very clear to me that the Lord wanted her to be my wife. I had chose her, but she wasn't all that excited. But when she said yes to my proposal of marriage, I was chosen by her, and I was very excited about that. So when you get chosen, to think that God chose you and he chose me out of all the people that there are in the world to be his, you're very special, and you need to hold on to that. For far too many in the greater church, if you will, they take it for granted. It's no big deal that I've been chosen by God the Father to be one of his sons or daughters. That is a big deal. That is really something wonderful. And that is why I find that so many Christians that find themselves discouraged and hopeless about things should reverse all that. You are a son, you are a daughter of his, and therefore you should have hope. You should be optimistic. You should be very positive and encouraged. He's your dad. He's your dad, and he loves you very much. The second promise is Father God always trusts us, always treats us with mercy. He always treats us with mercy. Now think about that. We're going to come to the communion table. We're going to eat the bread and remember that this is symbolic of his body, his sacrifice being given on the cross for your sins and mine. He's showing us mercy. We deserve damnation and hell, punishment. But he is the one that treats us with mercy, not punishment. Peter goes on to write in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, in the New Living Translation. He says, "All honor to God. All honor to God." My prayer every Sunday before anyone arrives on campus, oftentimes it's still in the car on my way to campus, my prayer is that he will clean me up. I was forgiven of all my sins when I confessed and repented and became one of his adopted sons. But there are things that I think, there are things that I may say, there may be things that I do that are considered sinful. And we see in 1 John, remember, he is faithful and just to forgive us all of our sins. So I go through a process of asking him to clean me up. I want to be a vessel of honor. I want to be a vessel of honor this morning. I want to be a person that has been cleaned from the inside out, that I would be one of those golden vessels that the kings had in those early years of Christ's ministry, that I would be used in such a way that he gets some glory. When you come, some of you come and say, the Lord really used you this morning, Ron, to hit the nail on the head. This is an area that I've been struggling with. And I know you don't know that, but nonetheless, the Holy Spirit did, and he used you, and I'm blessed. Because not only did you bring it up in his message to us, but now I know what to do about it. Or the message just you liked very much. Well, you see, that's giving some glory my direction. But I've already told him, anything that comes my direction by way of glory is all going to be bound up in a nice bouquet by this evening. And in a prayer, it's going to be offered up to him. Now, anything that you don't like, and I mean it's because, you know, obviously I'm not the greatest orator in the whole world or anything like that. Anything that's really bad, then I'll receive that and I'll take ownership of that. But everything else goes to glorify him. All honor to God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Abba Father is Christ's Abba Father, for it is his boundless mercy. Oh, there's that word. It is his boundless, it's that mercy that there's more, there's so much of it, there you can't run out of his mercy. Am I sure about that? Yes, I am, and I'll show you why. In his boundless mercy that has given us the privilege of being born again, so that we are now members of God's own family. It's because of his mercy. We thank you, Father, for your mercy that is with us and that you bathe us in. And some of you may be thinking, I don't feel that way. I don't feel like I'm being bathed in his mercy. This world has really been slapping me around. I'm not excited about that. Well, we're going to talk about that too momentarily. But his mercy is with you always. The writer of Lamentations, we believe, at least I believe it was Jeremiah, the prophet, the weeping prophet. He says this in Lamentations 3, it's not in your notes, in verses 22 through 24. Again, those of you that you just saw, put your head down in writing. Lamentations 3, 22 through 24. Jeremiah says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Steadfast love. In the Hebrew, we're being told his loyal love. This love that has been given to you, and he's never going to pull it back. His loyal love, his steadfast love never ceases. Would you say never ceases with me? Never ceases. Again, never ceases. What never ceases? Yes, yes. And then it says his mercies never come to an end. Never. It's like going in, I guess, Neverland, you know? Never, never, never. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. This morning when you got up, the mercies were ready for you. You may have not gotten a hot breakfast, but those mercies were right there. They're new every morning. And then Jeremiah says, great, great is your faithfulness. So the prophet recognizes that our Heavenly Father is going to be faithful to you and making sure those mercies are there every morning, and that hopefully you understand He will never, ever stop loving you. He goes on and he says, I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. He's my inheritance. You can say that. The Lord is your inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in Him. Obviously, I'll hope in Him. I have every reason to have hope and optimism and being positive and encouraged. When I have a Father that loves me and will always love me and who is providing me mercies each and every day. Now that's a good deal. That is a reason for anyone who feels discouraged this morning, that you're going through a rough patch. I think of Herma Linda, who just got a medical report that she has stage 4 cancer. But her Father still loves her and will be merciful to her through this time that she is going to go through. She has every hope. The fact is this, and here's your fill-in. The more we understand grace, His favor, the more it amazes us. It is completely undeserved and unmerited. The truth that He's given us thus far, this truth gives us hope even when we find ourselves blowing it. And you will. Have faith in you and in myself that I'm going to blow it at some point during the last 3 quarters of this year. But remember this, failure is not final. Say that with me. Failure is not final. Now let's put the word my in front of that. My failure is not final. When you fail, Abba does not get mad at you, as we see demonstrated in our fleshliness towards each other when we get mad at someone. He always acts with mercy towards you. His mercy never ends. As a follower of Jesus, you are covered in His blood and salvation. Again, symbolically, He died specifically for you. You may have heard other shepherds say this, because it's not new with me, that if you were the only person on earth and in a sinful condition, He would have come into the world and died just for you. Because He did. He died. He gave up His life to save you. His choice. You're His choice. No matter what's in store for you in the rest of this year or for our church family, you can rest completely in that truth. The Lord is your inheritance. and his mercies toward you will be every morning. Get it? Good. But I fooled you. There's still more. Promise number three. Father God has secured our future. Father God has secured our future. Would you say that with me? Father God has secured our future. Now let's put it in the first person. Father God has secured my future. Exactly. Exactly. Turn to the person next to you and tell them, Father God has secured my future, nanny, nanny, nanny. If you are a disciple of our Lord Jesus, you do not need to worry about your eternal destiny. Now, I don't know how it works with you. This is how it works with me. I can't wrap my finite little brain around the term eternity. But my eternity has been secured by our Heavenly Father through His Son, the Lord Jesus. No matter what else changes in this year in which we find ourselves, 2021, whatever else may change, your security and mine will not move one. I was going to say iota, but you'd probably be the only one that understands from the Greek. Is it going to move one little smidgen? Not even an inch. Your security is secure. Peter writes to us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 in the Living Bible, a paraphrase. Now we live in the hope. We live in hope, optimism, positivity, encouragement. We live in the hope of eternal life because Christ rose again from the dead. And God has reserved for His children the priceless gift of eternal life. It is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change or decay. There he makes it a clear statement. He secured your future. You have a reservation in heaven that can never be canceled. 2021 will not be the end of you, like you may have thought 2020 was going to be the end of you. The fact is this, if you look at your notes, Abba has written the final chapter of your life. It's already written, folks, and you win. You win. So Father God, chose you before you chose Him. Our Heavenly Father always treats you with mercy. And Abba Father secured your future. Promise number four. Father God's power will protect us. Father God's power will protect us. All right, you know the drill now. This is what I'm doing through the whole message. Let's repeat that out loud together. Father God's power will protect us. Now in the first person, my Father God's power will protect me. He will protect you. No matter what the year ahead has in store, you can always count on Abba to be there with you and for you. Peter describes it like this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation that's stored away in heaven, which is already to be revealed on the last day for all to see through your faith. Sometimes even pastors feel hopeless and powerless. But the fact is, if you look at your notes, here's your fill-in. When Abba is in your life, he has mighty power to help you. He has all the power. He's all powerful. He has all the power, bigger than anything that you will face this year or any time prior to you being summoned to be with him in heaven. The fifth promise we have here is Father God is preparing us for eternity. Let's say it together. Father God is preparing us. Now in the first person. My Father is preparing me for eternity. When you really understand this truth, it will change everything about those things that you have to deal with that are called challenges or difficulties. Abba is using everything in your life, the good, the not so good, the downright ugly. He is using it to prepare you for eternity. He works all things together for good, remember? To who? To those who love him and are called according to his purpose, right? Peter describes this so powerfully in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. So be truly glad. Be truly glad. This news that he has prepared and given us this morning. You know, I can't see your faces. That day, I believe, is not too more many weeks off when I'll get to see your faces. But I want you to smile. I want you all. That's good. I can tell that Stephen is smiling. Oh, and Geraldine, their eyes are perfect smiling eyes. Are you smiling? Come on. Oh, everyone. Come on. Give it to me. Give me a smile. Very good. Great smile, Eugene. That's very good. No racism here. He says, so be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. You're going to be praying for her, Melinda. She's got a real trial ahead of her. She may be going to see David. But we're all going to have trials and difficulties ahead of us. But look what he says. It's for a little while. A little while. Now, some of us, we live in this time frame and we think, well, gee, you know, you're in your 70s and I'm only in my 30s. And, you know, this is going to last forever. No, it's a little while. You know, Kelly's and my kid brother, he's still the kid brother, the brother in between us. He had polio, as I've shared in the past. He had one really bum leg. all of his life till he passed away. But do you understand, when Donnie passed away at about age 40, 46? At age 46, he had that bum leg. But even if he had lived to 100, what is 100 years compared to eternity? I mean, think about it. I know we're in those generations where everything's got to be done now. But he's made clear, he's not going to get things done now. His now is different from our now. But if we live 100 years, my mom was 94 when she left last year. She was troubled for a short time with dementia, ugly dementia. She was troubled with being blind. But it was just a short time. 10 years about, but a short time. Peter wants us to understand, be truly glad. Be truly glad. You may have a problem, but understand, try to look beyond your problem and see that other people have bigger problems than you do. And those people, if they're part of our Heavenly Father's family, they need to be looking beyond that. Because other people have greater problems than they do. What our dad wants us to know is, you have my mercy. You have my promises. You're going to be with me shortly. You're going to be with me shortly. A little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. Dear Heavenly Dad, the fact is this, you will certainly have trials this year. You certainly will. You may have more difficulty this year than you had in 2020. But in 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter reminds us that our trials are temporary. They will pass one day. Our trials will pass. They're only temporary. Can you say the word temporary with me? Temporary. In the meantime, these trials will help you grow. To grow spiritually to maturity. They will test your faith, and they will strengthen you. Trust me, Katha's had to go through 52 years with me. It's just a little time, honey. I have to keep reminding her. You're going to be better because of them. Why am I going to be better because of them? Because Father God chose me to be part of his family. I did not choose him first. Father God has promised to treat me with mercy every single day and to love me loyally forever. He has secured my future. He protects me with his power, and he is preparing a place for me. All these promises are for you. So we have every reason to be hopeful. You may feel you're in that submarine and you're 100 feet underwater and you're banging Morse code out on the inside of that ship because you know in your heart they can't rescue me. But you have hope. You have optimism, and you can be positive and encouraged because you are a son. You are a daughter of the Most High God forever and ever. And all God's kids said, amen. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, our wonderful, wonderful Heavenly Father, thank you for your encouragement to us this morning, that when we fall into these various temptation and tests, that you will be there to provide the way of escape. You do not allow these things in our lives to deliberately hurt us, but to raise us up, to build us up, become more acquainted with and acting more like your Son, our precious Lord Jesus, the Messiah. So, Father, help us to put these promises in our heart. Help us to take these message notes and to begin a message note binder where we can go back to the points that are being raised, the promises that were expressed, the various steps that we were to take, that we might read them aloud when we enter into our deep personal experience times with you, when we find ourselves wanting to remember certain things as we meet you in our gnosko time, where we get to know you much more intimately. Please, Father, may we be an encouragement now to the people we know who are hurting, or when our brother or sister or a friend ends up getting hurt. May we be a tool in your hand, be that golden vessel that has been cleaned, washed clean. It's purified from the inside out. And from the inside out come the words that are yours to bring help to our hurting friend and glory to you, our wonderful, wonderful Heavenly Father. So we make this prayer in Jesus' name.